Motopod, proudly supported by Roadskin, a UK label specializing in protective outerwear for motorcyclists. Modern biker clothing that you can wear all day long and engineered to save your skin. For the road, for life, visit roadskin.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to Motopod, the internet radio show all about motorcycle road racing. This is episode number 773, and this is the first of the special episodes in association with Tag Racing Honda and Roadskin. This is your show host, Richard Jarrett, and in the first of these specials, I'm delighted to have been able to sit down with BSB Pathways rider for Tag Honda, Jamie Van Sicelrus. As you'll hear, Jamie is an incredibly open, honest, and I would say very humble young man. And he was able to give us some really valuable insights into what it's like to compete at this highest level of national superbike racing. Jamie's very open about the injuries that he's suffered throughout his career and just what these guys put themselves through to try and stay at the top. Now turning to the Snetterton weekend, this was recorded on the Thursday before the weekend got properly going. The weekend itself, well, it was plagued by bad weather. First time it's rained at Snetterton for quite some time, so it did cause a lot of disruption. I think all of the races were disrupted with red flags and crashes at certain points. Prior to the weekend, unfortunately, Fraser Rogers on the other BSB bike had been ruled out due to a motocross accident, so we're wishing Fraser a speedy recovery. Hopefully he'll be back sometime around Thruxton. In terms of Jamie, well, in race one, unfortunately, he did go down in the wet. But in race two and race three, he had a pair of 22nd places, which, bearing in mind he's on the Pathways bike, pretty creditable. And as we discuss, hopefully that's something that he'll be able to improve on as the season moves forward. I'll definitely be talking to Jamie again a little bit later in the year. So based on what you hear in this episode, if any of the listeners have any questions that they'd like to fire in, I'd be delighted to pose some of those to Jamie as we get to know him and the rest of the team a bit better as the season goes on and hopefully into next year as well. Thanks very much to Tag Honda, to Rob, Tracy, Gary, Charlie, Sean, all of them. Really great bunch of people and opening the doors to us so that we can get under the covers a little bit and really find out what's going on in the operation and running of a BSB team. In terms of the next plans, well, I'm hoping to get to Brands Hatch for one of the days over that weekend and certainly to the Thursday prior to Thruxton. So all being well, we'll be able to chat to a few of the team personnel. And assuming he's back from injury, we'll hope to speak to Fraser and hopefully to Sean and Matt, who race the Stock 1000 bikes as well. So with all of that being said, here's my chat with Jamie. Here we are, it's Thursday the 4th of July, a rather windy Snetterton as always. It's an ex-airfield, so they tend to be windy places. And so this is the first of the Motopod Tag Racing Honda in association with Roadskin chats that we've been trying to get set up, and we're going to follow the team. So I'm delighted to say I'm sitting with Jamie Van Sicelrus, if I pronounced that correctly.
Yeah,
Jamie?
Yeah, it's a hard name, but you do.
Good, good. So Jamie, first of all, let's just talk a little bit about Donington, because as we saw it in the warm-up session or the qualifying session, you had a nasty crash at Redgate.
Yeah, it was in the first race, at the first lap, first corner, crazy. But yeah, the corner went really tight for me with the other riders, and that created a high side on the exit. So yeah, got some bad injury there, or not really a bad one, but yeah, some cracks in the bones of my ribs and knee impact fracture. And the medical put me unfit there, so I was not allowed to do any races that weekend. Shame, because Donington is a pretty good track for me. We have shown it in the Supersport already in the years before. But yeah, couldn't help it. Things happen, and it was my first real crash in a Superbike weekend.
I was commenting to Steve Day, who's one of the commentators on Eurosport, that when you watch that corner on the television, it doesn't look that fast. But when you stand by the side of the track, and you see somebody taking a high side there, it's amazing how the speed is so much more than you think, and so the impact of a fall. Not surprising that you had a nasty wrist injury as a result.
No, it's correct. Even when you see the straights in the race, you think, oh, it's not going that quick, but still we go like above 250, 260 kilometers per hour.
Yeah,
far above. But even on that video, the bike was completely sideways already and only flip the back of what you saw on the video, so it looked not that bad on the video, but yeah, the impact was worse, and than it looked like, and yeah, but it's what it is, and yeah, we tried to get a quick recovery as possible.
And what was involved in the recovery? Was it just resting the wrist, or do you go for some
particular
rehab?
No, we got to physio straight away, and talking with doctors, did some x-rays and MRI scans at home. Yeah, I have good connections with doctors in the Netherlands because sometimes we need some operations. And so we are quite close with them. And yeah, on the MRIs you could see a good or a bad fracture on the knee. And the ridge had some bone tears in it. Yeah.
So back to what, 80% ready for Snetterton this weekend in terms of the rest?
Yeah, that's not... I think, yeah, for sure. The only thing I'm a little bit have a bit headache about is like from off the beginning of the season, we are really fighting with knee problems. My kneecap is getting out of the rails. So it's when I bend my kneecap locks sometimes, and it's getting worse. So we are really talking with hospitals and physiotherapy about how to solve this problem. But yeah, I always try the best I can. Snetterton I pretty like. I like a stop and go tracks, and Snetterton has a lot of hairpins and tight corners. So I was really looking forward to this track. But yeah, we need to wait to manage the pain sometimes. Yeah,
yeah, the life of a professional racing bike rider, hey? Yeah. So let's tell the Motorpod listeners a little bit about you then, Jamie. Let's talk about your journey through motorcycle racing. Yeah. So you started off like so many people do, you just mentioned, in what we call here schoolboy motocross, I guess. And then you were in the European Junior Cup for a little while. Then you've been through Dutch Supersport. I think you were the champion there in 2021.
Yeah, Dutch champion, But we did already world championships and on that time. Yep. Only because we were doing world championships, if I did the Dutch championship race, I always won the race because the level is a bit lower than world, of course. Mm-hmm. But we were never allowed to use all the races, so I could be the champion at the end of the season. And in 2021, we got the luck that all the races were not the same weekend.
Yeah.
So that was the reason we finally could be Dutch champion. But I started when I was 4 years old in motocross. My first bike was already bought before I was born. So from off a baby, I was on the bike already. And from my 4 years old, we were doing competitions, European Championship motocross, but because of injuries we quit at the end, but we did European Championships already at a young age. And 2010 I was, when I was 10 years old, we were already to America for races and testing. So as a small kid, 2010 we jumped into Supermoto, and we jumped into World Championships again within 3 years, and done Supermoto of Nations 3 times. Mm-hmm. And from off 2014, we started to get into racing, the Vata Junior Cup, as you told. And we were gaining. 2014 was my first time with racing. Didn't know slipstreaming, never heard of that word before. So my first race in Jerez was quite a hard race. Yeah. But
many people start off on motocross bikes, and as you say, they do sort of the other off-road kind of racing,
package.
And some people obviously continue in that path.
Yeah.
We know that injuries are very common, particularly in motocross. So what was the point at which road racing or track racing became of interest to you? What happened to light that fire?
In 2008, I cut my liver with blood inside because an handlebar got with a crash into my stomach. And 2010, I broke my back, 3 bones and some other bones in my body. And then my parents said, hey, you're 13 years old, 2 times in intensive care in 2 years' time. It's not worth it.
Yeah.
And we created Supermoto. And because we didn't run championships, the team told me once in 2014, like, we want you to be on a race bike to get more feeling with high speed.
Okay, I see.
So I jumped on an R6 for the first time in my life in Almeria, and that went pretty good. So above what we thought it would be. And then some people told me, like, hey, you have to do more testing on a race bike, and I started to like it even more as I did Supermoto. And that was why I grew into road racing.
And were you at that age, that young age, you know, I guess that, you know, motocross, all the rest of it was kind of an obsession.
Yeah.
Were you kind of aware of things like MotoGP and World Superbikes and so on?
No, not at all. I didn't know anything about racing. So it's just motocross and Supermoto was my thing, and I was not focused on racing at all until they put me on an R6. And then I thought, hey, this is nice.
Yeah.
And yeah, the lap times were strong from after the first moment. And so, yeah, I got the questions like, hey, yeah, you have to jump into racing. And so we did with the Party Union Cup the first season. So yeah, that's quite a big jump to mm-hmm. get in road racing straight away in the European Championship with Augusto Fernandez and all the other guys. But still, we could manage it. And 2014 was my first year. We did 15. 2016 was my first year Dutch Championship with the R6. 2017 European Championship and 18 World, 19 World and 20 World Championship Supersport. Yeah. So it was a quite big growth.
Yeah. And kind of trying to read between the lines a little bit in terms of the biography stuff that you can read about mm-hmm. your career so far online. Would it be true to say that World Supersport Paddock is a tough place financially for teams to operate, and therefore was that what prompted you to eventually come to the British Supersport Paddock? What was the transition?
The transition was quite special. It had nothing to do with the money. What you're telling me is true, is like it's about a lot of money, but we did the Supersport on our private team, and that's quite the same amount. So that was not the reason.
Okay.
I had quite a lot of injuries in my knee and problems in my knee, and that gave us a lot of operations. And in 2020, we are still had the same problem. We were riding with injections in the knees to get it sorted in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And my doctor told me that maybe an option was to change my foot position. So
I'm looking at, just for people, because this is audio, not video. I'm looking at scars on Jamie's legs, and it's already quite horrifying.
And I have got 13 operations in my legs already. And maybe you can tell your listeners about what you see.
Or maybe we can share the the photo if it's for public.
Yeah, that's not a problem for me. We cut both bones in the lower leg.
Yeah.
And twisted the foot 15 degrees.
Wow. Okay.
On the right side.
So I'm looking at an X-ray image now, which is showing this in rather graphic detail.
So and we changed it, and this operations took me 7 operations in total with infections, a lot of things. And my last operation should be in April 2021. The season starts World Supersport in February. So I wasn't ready for the World Supersport season, also with the practicings before and that kind of things. And because of COVID, the 2021 season of BSB started later. And we wanted to have highest level possible championship next to World Supersport. And we think BSB is like a high level, it's the highest level on national championships in the world.
Yeah.
So that was our reason to jump in Supersport BSB.
Interesting. So it was just a collision just of circumstances and dates and COVID and operations.
Because of, and circumstances. Because in 2020, I broke my ankle. And because of that operation, I was out of the full season. And then we thought, okay, now we do big operations. It takes a lot of recovery, but that was the time to do it.
Yeah.
And because if I didn't break my ankle, we would never have done this operations, and I would never been in BSB.
Funny how things kind of work in your favor. I know I say that obviously knowing that you've had many operations and obviously gone through a lot of pain to get to where you are now. So, okay, so up to date then, you're in the Tag Racing Honda team this year. Now you're on this British Superbike, which is called the Pathways.
Yeah.
Bike. So can you try and, because even I'm struggling a little bit to understand technically what the difference is between, say, a completely stock 1000 bike like Sean and Matt are riding in the team in the stock 1000 championship, and obviously Fraser is on the full blown BSB spec bike. So what is the Pathways bike, and what led to you being on that machinery?
There are some more restrictions on it. A lot of people have questions about it. It's also pretty hard to tell against your sponsors and things.
Yeah.
But we have some more restrictions. So that means a real superbike, they are allowed to have a different gearbox. We are not. So we are racing the original gearbox.
Yeah.
The swing arm is original at my bike, and on a real superbike, it may be a Suter or another brand. And the front suspension, the outer tubes need to be original. And with a superbike, they may be like real superbike.
I see.
But we are riding the same electronics. Traction control also at our bikes. No traction control. So the electronics are exactly the same as the real superbike. The main thing is just the gearbox, swing arm and front fork. And our engines may not be tuned. So we are riding stock engines.
Right.
So you have less power than the others.
And it's worth just noting, I'm sure most of our listeners will know this, but in the Stock 1000 series, they're allowed to run full electronics on those bikes, so you have none on the pathways. No. Interesting. Okay. And was that the bike that you were offered by the team to ride, or did you see the Pathways bike as a good introduction into the BSB without having to go to the full level bike? I mean, I'm sure you would ride that bike given the opportunity.
It's also like a budget thing for us, but we were guessing about what to do for 2024. We had some good results in the super sport class 2021, 22 and 23, and in 24 we wanted to make a step up. We thought about maybe Stock 1000, but then this opportunity came up. So yeah, the opportunity to jump into the Pathway new class was coming to us, so that was what we took straight away. It's great to be with the Tech family, because it's really like a family team, and they don't give any pressure on it, even with the struggles we have now. They really want you to enjoy racing. That's a beautiful part.
Yeah, and I'm just trying to think, there's probably, I'm guessing maybe what, 6 to 8 Pathway spec bikes out there? I know Billy's on one.
It's a bit sad news on that point. It was the organization was trying to get like a nice field of the Pathway, like 9 to 11 bikes on it, I thought, but at the end it's just a lot of them jumped into the real superbike, and so there are just three bikes
in the
championship at the moment. So Rollo and
Billy McConnell, I think.
Billy McConnell should be on the Pathway bike to begin the season, but also he jumped into the main one. So I'm not focused on the Pathway result. I see myself between the main riders. So if I'm on P25, I'm on P25 and not on P2 or P3 or P1 in the Pathway.
Yeah. Is that a frustration to you though, the way that I mean, obviously it's not the team's fault, it's not your fault.
It's a bit sad, because otherwise when you have a bigger group of riders, you can gain a bit more competition within that group. Yeah, even when you are first in the Pathway, which is nice, and you still need to open the throttle to get there, it's just, but it's only three riders, you know?
Yeah.
And they are strong riders, but still, that is the situation you get. But maybe next year can be different. So it's what it is. Yeah, I'm really focused on my results between the others and not just on the Pathways. But yeah, we can change it.
Yeah. No, it's what it is, isn't it? It's as you say, it's a shame that more teams didn't adopt the spec.
And when they start with this concept, a lot of teams were really positive about it. And even last year, you saw some testing from our teams. But yeah, it didn't work out in the way everybody thought.
Mm, no. Interesting. Let's talk a little bit about away from the racetrack then. So just remind me your age. You are how old?
What do you think?
Well, I'm trying to remember what the date of birth was. I'm guessing you're in your early 20s or somewhere around about,
I look pretty young, but I'm 27 already.
Okay, 27. And you're based in the Netherlands?
Yeah.
So you travel to and from the UK?
Yeah. So every race we're traveling to the UK, so Monday I'm back in the Netherlands.
And I know that some riders up and down the pit lane here for various reasons, you know, maybe they're working on a building site during the week. What does Jamie do during the week? Are you a full-time professional athlete, or do you have some other things?
No, trying to, but my parents have a car company, and we built a motorcycle company next to a garage. I'm doing the motorcycle part.
You're in the family business.
Business, and I'm a mechanic of motorcycles, so specialist in KTMs, so rebuilding engines and doing everything. But especially this year, I took a step back out of the company, so I'm just supporting my parents still nearly every day with preparing and things, but my main focus is on sport at the moment.
I have to ask, because I know when I've been at a couple of the other rounds, I've seen your father is with you quite a lot. Is he kind of looking at what's going on in the garage and trying not to interfere, or
he is more enjoying now, because the years before we had our own racing team, so we own members in the team, and so he needed to be there every race. Also, you have other members in the team, so you need someone to control everything and make a balance. But now he's just because he wants to be here, and he's more relaxed, and even when he's not needed. So sounds quite strange, but he can come whenever he wants.
Yeah,
but it's not a need.
It's for pleasure, more for pleasure, and to support his son.
So, and he really enjoys it. So, and he loves how the teams are working. So the first race, he had a little bit of headache about it, if he needed to control everything. But now he sees, like, okay, they are managing it. I can watch the race from the outside.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, the Dutch and the British have a long history together, yeah. so we're not so different culture-wise. No, so for you, being in the UK a lot, I guess, is like being at home anyway.
Yeah, no, true. And yeah, I've been in different teams, Italian teams. But here with the tech, it works perfectly. And there's a laugh within the team and some fun, but also like serious business. And it's the perfect balance.
Yeah. Talking about Snetterton this weekend then, it's a funny track, I always think, because there's lots of fast straights and then lots of hairpin turns. It's probably a tricky one to get the bike set. I mean, accepting that you have ongoing trouble with your knee, as you have identified, and your wrist is still recovering a little bit. Yeah. How are you feeling about this weekend in terms of what's achievable?
If I'm really honest, I had a little bit of headache coming up this weekend. Because, yeah, even 2 days ago, I was still in hospital to talk about some options to get it sorted. But still, I have a lot of energy to jump on track. Snetterton is really a track I like. I like stop and go tracks and short corners. So I'm really looking forward to it. For me, it's still every race is learning on a superbike, especially between the big guys because they go very quick. But yeah, so it's this year and also this weekend will be a school again. But I will do the best I can and I will enjoy every lap.
And I think you've had a best finish of 19th so far, which I think was race 2 in Navarra.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, that can be in Navarra, yeah. So I'm not even sure about it myself.
I had a quick look this morning, although the BSB website isn't the easiest one to find that information. So obviously we've just been talking about the fact that there's you and one other currently on the Pathway Spec bike, and you can't really compare it to the rest of the bikes because they, as we've already discussed and described, are full-spec BSB. Yeah. But where do you see the main areas to improve, either in terms of yourself or the bike, because it's a new specification of bike?
I think for now it's mainly myself, and that's what I am telling the team also sometimes, even when we are not really strong or the team is asking me like, hey, what do we need to change to go quicker? I try to be fair and I said, it's not the bike, I need to change. Okay. And I think the bike has shown himself already with other riders that it can jump in top 50 in the race and like top 20 like general. And I think that's needed to be around that place. I need to understand the bike more. I'm riding in 600 style.
Right, I was going to ask you if it was a body kind of injury thing or if it's more just adapting. Because obviously this is the first year on the 1000cc bike because you've been on Super Sports before.
Like Nokia, we were really fighting with injury. So the mind was not where it needed to be. Like in FP1, I was changing a suit to take off some tape because it was not working in the way I wanted. And but if you have to take off a suit in a free practice session and take it on again, you're busy with physical and not busy with racing.
Yeah.
And I'm really thankful to the team that they really support me still in that way, because it felt from my side very unprofessional. But yeah, we are trying everything to be on track. But yeah.
Jamie, talking to you now for the first time that we've ever spoken with each other, and you're incredibly humble and honest about everything so far.
I think that's the way to go.
Yeah, so, you know, it's 2024. We live in a world now, well, first of all riders, it seems to me, no matter what category, which series they're racing in, are always injured to some extent. There's not many riders out there midway through a season who are 100% fit. So accepting that's the case, I mean, how do you approach this mental preparation? How do you manage the pressure and, you know, the pressure of the body, the pressure of the expectations that you put on yourself, team, although you're saying the team have been very fair with you? How do you approach all this? Because we hear a lot about mental health in this day and age and so on, and that's great. People have different approaches to that. Well, how do you kind of try and manage this pressure and
I give myself, because the team is not giving me any pressure, I'm the one who gives the pressure himself. And also because I think I have to a bit, because you are in the main championship at the moment and people really think something about you. So you need to show yourself, and it's like, it's still a hard game. If you are far off the rest, you're out the next season. So you want to show yourself straight away in the first season. But what I do now is like, I have some books really like focused on mentally, or just on a race weekend before the race, I take 15 minutes for myself, like completely just or music or nothing, but to relax.
Kind of like a meditating almost.
Exactly. Yeah. And because you need it to put it on the side. Only the last couple of races, it was a bit hard for me, and I felt also the struggle was from there. And we had some sessions that I was not on the speed at all, and then I changed my mind and I was a second quicker. That means it's not the body, it's not the bike, it's just the mind game.
Yeah.
And that means like the mind game is a very, very important part, maybe the most important part. So yeah, it's always a thing you need to keep working on. But yeah, I try in that kind of ways to relax myself. Mm. I try to control it, but still, even I can learn of it.
Yeah, and are you one of these riders that likes to have a, I don't know, a red sock on the right foot and a blue sock on the left foot? Nothing,
no superstitions. I don't need that kind of thing. So okay. I'm not a special...
You do hear some funny things that people do in terms of their routines and so on.
Yeah, or
so.
Special underwear or...
Lucky pants.
Yeah, lucky pants. But no, I don't have one of these things.
Nothing like that. Okay, and obviously you've been racing in the UK for several seasons then.
Yeah.
Which would you consider to be your best or favourite track?
For the track, I think Donington. So it's because in 2021 was my first season in BSB, and my first podium was in 21 on Donington. In 22, I took my first win in Donington. In 23, I took my first win that season again in Donington.
Yeah, so it's like a lucky place.
Donington is
although
a pretty good place for
not
me.
Last time, but
yeah, exactly. But so that was quite a shame because we had a good test at Donington earlier this year, and again in race weekend we showed we could be strong there. But yeah, from after the first race we were out straight away.
And tell me a little bit, just moving over to something that's just come into my mind. I was very lucky last year to go to the MotoGP in Qatar. So I spent 15 minutes or so talking with Colin Vaier, and he couldn't really give me a clear answer to the question, but I was commenting to him about, you know, the Benelux countries, let's say Holland or Netherlands. I never quite understand the difference between those, but we don't need to talk about
exactly the same.
Don't need to talk about geopolitics now.
No,
but
I have no idea myself.
And Belgium, you know, suddenly, you know, you guys have quite a few riders. You have obviously Colin in Moto3, there's Barry Baltus, there's Zonta as well, Mark Vandermark I suppose has been around for some years, and yourself here blazing away in BSB. It's a little bit funny. Is there a big racing scene in Holland?
No, it's like it's very small, and what you see is most of the times this kind of riders like Zonta is living for most of the time in Spain. Colin same in Spain. So because in the Netherlands we have only one track, and that's awesome. Mm. That's the only track we can race on. If you want to practice, you have to go to Spain or to other places.
Yeah.
So it's quite hard to create quality in racing as a rider. That's why you see them going to other championships very quick. Or for us, the first season was Pata Junior Cup European Championship.
Yeah.
You have to go to other places.
I guess it must just be that as one or two people nationally become famous in a certain sport, young people start to take notice and they want to try.
Maybe that's all it. But that's why you also see a big gap between the level in the Dutch Championship or other areas. When they want to grow, they go to a German championship or to other championships.
Yeah. Okay, last question, because we're going to try and catch up a few times during the year you know, and see how the progress of you is and the team in general. So it's kind of like a question to make you think a little bit. I was trying to think of an interesting one to ask. So is there a particular event globally, motorcycle racing wise, and a certain category that if you had the opportunity to go and race, let's say the Suzuka 8-hour, for example, on a superbike, is there a particular event that would really kind of, if you had the opportunity, you would do it?
Yeah, I think, good question. I think it will be like a Suzuka or a World Endurance event.
Interesting, okay. Because World Endurance is becoming really quite a big category and a very popular category
now,
isn't it?
For future, it's quite always a good step to jump into. You see, I have a lot of riders where I've raced with, they're racing the World Endurance right now.
Yeah.
But that's always something you can do when you are finished, like the short racing championships, and you have the quality, you can always jump into the World Endurance.
Yeah.
But I think a Suzuka or that kind of race is really something to be on the list.
Interesting. Okay. And I know I'm not asking this in terms of whether you would want to do it or not, but have you had a chance to go to an event like the Northwest 200 or the TT?
For me, it was the TT was always on the list. But
not been yet.
Yeah. I think when I get the option, I really will think about it. But my parents always hold me back on it.
No, I was talking about going to watch, not necessarily to race.
No, but I was always about thinking about to race. Like amazing, but that takes so much things in front of the event. But to watch, it's an amazing event, and I think everybody needs to be there at a certain point in their life, because it's something what you can't see at another place.
Yeah. Well, Jamie, that's just about half an hour talking, just as an introduction to get to know each other. I'm sure that's going to be very interesting for the MotoPod listeners. So thank you for your time. We're doing this on the Thursday, so it's a slightly more relaxed day before things get going properly tomorrow. But best of luck for the weekend.
We'll
be watching the results and keeping our fingers crossed for some good progress and good results for you. So, and I'm not sure if I'll make it to Brands, which is the next race, I think. Mm-hmm. But certainly one of the next races after that, I'll be there. So
we can keep in touch.
We'll keep in touch and have another chat and see how the progress is going. So for now, thank you very much.
Thank you for the chat, and thank you to the listeners, and always welcome.
Cheers.